Good afternoon, everyone. So happy to have anyone come up for this session. I have this session, if you're not mistaken, the room. This is about education and Wikidata, or rather, how to bring Wikidata into education and teach with it and learn with it. And so I have two awesome co-conspirators for this session, Asaf Boltov and Andy Lee. I'm sure they don't need presenting, but they will present themselves. I will say why I asked them to join me today. I asked Asaf because I think today he's the one person with the most mileage of teaching Wikidata to newbies. Andrew has also been experimenting with using Wikidata as an assignment in his university classes. And I've been also doing the same. I haven't said, but hi, my name is Shuni Evenstein. I'm from Israel. And I do lots of education, glam, any type of outreach, really, Wikimeds, libraries. Some of you know me from different areas of our movement. In the last 5 years or so, I've been teaching a semester-long Wikipedia courses at the Tel Aviv University. And I think 3 years ago, Asaf was visiting Israel, and I told him, why don't you come to my class and give a session about Wikidata? So that was the first time we actually taught Wikidata in class, and since then, I've continued to experiment with it. We're just at the very beginning stages of trying to incorporate it and bring it to the classroom, and this is basically what this session is about. I think we're the only ones in the whole conference dealing with Wikidata in education, so I'm happy to have even a small group to start with. And I'll let these two say something about why they're here. And
Hello, my name is Asaf, long-time volunteer, long-time Wikidata volunteer. And somehow in the last few years, I have, as Shani said, become a Wikidata trainer, Wikidata teacher. I've done this at conferences all over the world, and I have some, I hope, insights on how to teach the skills for Wikidata.
Okay, I'm fine here. I'm Andrew Lee. I'm with Wikimedia DC. As Shani said, I've taught in the university setting. We've used Wikidata a few times in the classroom, not semester-long, but for assignments. I do a lot of training now in DC with the Smithsonian and other GLAM institutions, and we found a really strong pickup of Wikidata with GLAM institutions, whereas with Wikipedia, they were always kind of good, but a little cautious, but they really love Wikidata for some reason. We could even discuss that, but I thought we could talk a little bit about how we can bring Wikidata into the classroom for assignments or even semester-long engagements. And I think what we've put up here is that this is not just teaching Wikidata that we're talking about. We're talking about teaching with Wikidata in different domains in the university or in the classroom setting. So we want to make sure we kept focused on that.
Yeah, to make it clear, this is not a session about how to teach Wikidata itself, like how to teach what it is, how to edit it, how to query it. That's a separate topic. And it's also not a session about how the many interesting ways to research Wikidata, to study Wikidata academically. There's a whole plethora of research questions that are interesting to ask about Wikidata. We're talking about teaching in academic settings with Wikidata. That's what this session is about.
Right. And there's a bunch of different domains we thought we could try to hone in on. I think it's actually below here. Let me see if we can show you. But you know, some of the ideas here in terms of what can you use Wikidata for in the classroom? I mean, you can, if you look at row 38 there, you could talk about topics and coverage, right? So that's a big one for pretty much any domain. You could talk about how good is the coverage in Wikipedia, Wikidata about something in terms of questions of bias or domains of knowledge. The other thing you could do if you're kind of a technical class, either comp sci or information science, you could actually talk the mechanics of, you know, using an API or writing scripts against Wikidata to do interesting things, or even just teaching, you know, Sparkle and Wikidata query can get quite technical. Just modeling relationships and ontologies, right? So depending on, you know, how advanced your class is or when you want to get in the weeds of the stuff, you could talk about that. And then one thing that we want to direct you folks to talk about is visualization, so display, discovery. In my field of journalism, there's a big emphasis now on data journalism or finding stories in the numbers. So Wikidata has been really interesting in that area for trying to find stories with the tools that we have, even in something as simple as Wikidata query. And then usability and interaction, this is something that we've heard, I can't remember, was it yesterday, but just saying that the interfaces for modifying Wikidata, I think Lydia just talked about this morning, like we want more interfaces to do innovative ways to incorporate, or to bring in more data to Wikidata. And that would be a real ripe thing for UX or interaction design schools. They don't have to implement it. They can just mock it up and storyboard it and release it to our community for discussion. I mean, yeah, that would be a very valuable thing. We just don't have enough people doing that right
exactly
now.
So before we actually delve into the exact these exact topics, I think there is one missing link maybe, or just one sentence to give you an idea of why I actually wanted to do this session. And that has to do with the fact that Wikipedia has been here for a long time. People who have been doing outreach and working with educational institutions, it doesn't have to be only higher education, it could be K-12,
right,
have been experimenting with teaching with Wikipedia. There is some research about it, again, not enough, but we already have a global experience as a movement in terms of the type of things we can do. What do the students get from it, right? What types of literacies we actually gain from working with Wikipedia as a platform in the classroom? So we know the students gain all sorts of, right, critical thinking and writing literacy and digital literacy. They get all sorts of things from working with Wikipedia. But now that we have the awesomeness of Wikidata, we actually need to start exploring what it would mean to start teaching with Wikidata. And that's a completely different, well, not completely, there are some correlations, right? There are some things that are relevant to writing a Wikipedia article and are still relevant to Wikidata. Like, what do you think are some similarities? Yeah?
References,
right. Provenance of material, right?
Images,
notability. There are some things that it doesn't matter which wiki platform you're using, it would be relevant there. But what I've found, at least, and I think Asaf and Andrew as well, is that when we started teaching Wikipedia, Wikidata to university students, or it doesn't even matter if it's a GLAM, an educational institution, or just a workshop for Wikidata, we saw that it's a different thing. We need to teach different types of thinking, actually. And I think Asaf can give a few examples later on from his experiences, and Andrew as well. But I can tell you that even when I give like the first hour and a half of Wikidata to just explain how it works and what it is, and what is a queue number, and what is an item, and how it's all structured, that's one thing, and that's fine, and people might get it after an hour and a half. But when we then want to go the next step, and we show them the power of Wikidata, right, querying, and getting all this cool information, they don't even know how to ask the right questions. So it takes them time to get used to the idea of structured linked data and what this means and what we can do with it. And for me, it's a huge thing because I'm interested in the, right, the students of tomorrow are, the students of today are tomorrow's researchers and inventors and stuff. And we want to basically give them some kind of training or give them skills and literacies that are relevant to the world today. So this is why.
Yeah, if I could offer an analogy,
yes.
Before they invented flight, nobody in Europe had pressing business in Australia the next day, right? That was just not something you felt a need for because it was plainly impossible. These days, it is possible, and some people do have business in Australia the next day and do it. So the moment something becomes possible, suddenly you begin developing needs, and it suddenly even becomes absolutely necessary. Those of us, we're all too young to have experienced that, but we've all experienced the birth of the smartphone, right? We have things we do today that we wouldn't want to live without that, you know, just 10 years ago, we were absolutely okay without. But once it's available, suddenly it's indispensable. We haven't reached that moment yet with Wikidata. Most people don't feel that it is indispensable and they need Wikidata query, but they will. We just need to help them, you know, overcome the imagination gap, right? What could I do with this thing? All right, it's very interesting and complicated. What problems in my life does it solve? And the thing is, they don't know these are problems that they can solve.
And what we practically do, okay, we have a class. We can. Someone is actually infected with the Wikidata bug and actually wants to do something in his classroom. Where do we start, right? We don't have anything, no documentation, no case studies, nothing. We're really at the very beginning, early stages. And we've even talked yesterday about coining data literacy, which, because we don't even have the right words to describe the type of skills that Web3 or semantic web linked data requires for the students of today. So this is what this session is aiming to do, slightly. we're obviously we're not going to cover everything. We're going to start, we want to start a discussion today, and hopefully it can continue on Wiki. We've opened a Wikidata page where we can start, you know, putting our thoughts, and we encourage all of you to join that page and help us document what it is that you're doing throughout the world. Because obviously, although we do try to be informed, we might not know about your awesome experiences, and it is important to really share our experiences at this point. So without further ado, I would say I'd like Andrew to talk a bit about his experience, and then Asaf, and then what we thought would be awesome would be to put you in working groups for 15 minutes to work on a specific topic, and then each group will report back to the room, and we hope that this practical kind of workshop would be interesting to all of you, and also productive to those who might be watching online. Cool. So, Andrew,
okay.
You want to start?
Yeah, thanks. I thought I'd just show you one simple example I've used in the classroom, but mostly with Smithsonian folks, and I think it's just to show the power of Wikidata query, that if you can kind of show them the basics, and Asaf's going to talk a little bit more about, yes, you can teach Wikidata query in a short amount of time with high impact. And it's we've taught these enough, and I think he's taught five times as many as I have, that we think we've got a pretty good package of how this could go. But I think this is cool because showing my journalism students or even average, you know, journalists who don't think they know much technical, or even curators at museums who say, I can know the data set, but this timeline mapping, I don't know any of this stuff. How do you do that? This is really easy with something like Wikidata query. You just, as long as you have a time column or coordinates column, you just choose map or timeline, and boom, you're off to the races. It takes all of the data that comes back from a Sparkle query and puts it in visual form. So I thought I'd show you the example that I use with the Smithsonian folks, and originally I was not going to show you the visuals, but I think it's just easier to show you the visuals. So this is an example I use, and if you were a teacher in poli-sci or government studies, this would be a great example. And this is a query showing, in the U.S., where did all the politicians that served in Congress, in the U.S. Congress, go to school? So this is either undergraduate degree or law degree. And you see the normal folks like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, of course. It's Oxford, Cambridge in the U.K. Of course, they go to those storied schools. Harvard, Michigan. And then you come down here. These are all great schools. What? Union College? How many people here have heard of Union College in the United States? I had not. You have? Wow, that's great. I had not. I'm ashamed. I've been teaching in higher ed for 10 years. I've never heard of it. So Union College, what do you do? Well, let's deep dive into that. And what we did, we deep dived into that, and we found out that Union College, in fact, used to be one of the big four schools in the United States. Amazing. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Union. You're like, what happened? And we found out that if you graph it, it's pretty obvious what happened. You do a query, and you just say, find instances of human, they have a Library of Congress, bio ID, meaning they've served in Congress, educated at Union College, get their date of birth, so you know when were they born, so you get a rough idea of when they went to school. And what you see is something like this. The Union College was highly prolific in sending members of Congress in the early years. In fact, it was more prolific than most Ivy League universities. And then it kind of suddenly cut off in 1860s, 1870s. And there was a big financial scandal where they mismanaged their funds, and Union College, which used to be one of the big four, declined in prestige, and no one really went there in the same level of Harvard, Yale, Princeton. And you can see that over there, right? The right-hand side of that timeline is sparse. But then the Ivy Leagues start to really dominate here. Like, there's Columbia University in New York City. There's a more interesting story about the fates of those two universities or colleges stuck together. But you can see that Union plunged, Columbia rose. So when I showed this to the Smithsonian folks, they're like, this is great. I mean, you just did a query and hit the timeline button and you get a visualization like this. So I think this is a great example of how, you know, just packaging a lesson plan like this in a very simple way to say, this is one example. Now go off and find your other data stories in the body of congressional members and see what you can find there. Right? So this is just a simple example. Package this into a lesson plan or learning pattern, you're off to the races.
In the interest of time, I just want to support Andrew's example and say this is an example of a skill that you could teach people, non-technical people, people in the humanities, people in social studies, and after they have this skill, there's a whole range of assignments, activities, research activities. This is, you can do real research with this
Andrew,
tool.
Andrew, can you go back to the query so he can actually show?
No, we need to do the exercise. We only have 15 minutes, or
we have two more minutes. My
point is, this is an example. Technical examples are easier to think up, right? We could all think of programmer tasks to support Wikidata, bots and scripts and ingestions and things. But this is an important example because it shows how non-technical people can be shown. And of course, it's not immediately obvious, right, what this query does. You do need to be taught. But this can be taught. This complex query can be taught in 2 hours. I know because I have done this repeatedly to people who didn't know the first thing about Wikidata or Wikidata query that morning. So this can be taught to non-technical people in just 2 hours. And then what? That's what we're interested in brainstorming with you about. What can we do with students in various disciplines after we've introduced them to Wikidata and Wikidata query? What kinds of activities, what kind of academic curriculum can we pursue with these skills?
Yes, and just before we break into groups, I'll just add something that Asaf told us yesterday that I think was very meaningful, and I agree because that's my experience with my students, and that is you have to start slow. When you do the queries, I mean, it sounds silly, right? But when you do queries, first of all, don't start with something so complex with three lines. Go to the cats example on Wikidata. And then ask the students, okay, so this is with cats. What else can we do? So what happens if we want to do the same with dogs? And then let them slowly get used to the idea of how query works. And if you go slow enough at the beginning, they will pick it up and they will be able to, you know, to get the idea and, you know, switch the Q number and the P number even without knowing anything about programming or, you know, querying or databases and anything. So, of course, again, this is not for the first session or the first encounter with Wikidata, but this could be session two, right? After you give an intro, this could be a second session that we do with the students, and then we can give them all sorts of assignments, cool assignments. And what we want to do now is show you the three, we kind of thought of three, we have enough people to actually divide into more than three groups. I think groups of three would be good, so we can have one, two, three, four, I think four groups. We'll have one group that's working on an assignment for a programming class. So we actually want you to envision that you're a teacher for a programming class, and then what can you do with those type of students? So this is for those of you who might have some technical background. Do we have any volunteers for that group? No one wants to do the programming.
Is anyone interested in what the technical API programming, something might be adequate for a... Yeah,
yes.
We can walk through the three of them first. Let's do three.
So one option is the programming. So all of those students who study engineering, computer science, right, programming. The second is humanities. Many of us
teach, I don't know, literature, history, social studies, gender studies, which is really interesting. And the next option we thought would be, again, interesting and different, would be design students, which is what Asaf and Andrew were talking about at the beginning. Design students can really think about how Wikidata looks. They don't have to actually build it, but they can create a scheme or a mock-up of how a really usable system would look like. So that's for students who are doing UX design visualization.
So let's give one super quick example just to help understand what we might mean. Mm-hmm. Suppose you were to ask design students, whether it's digital or computer design, doesn't matter, if they can design, ask them about ingestion systems, like data entry systems into Wikidata, right? Today, pretty much the only way to get data into Wikidata is either manually going to wikidata.org and using the carefully hidden buttons there, you know, to put data in, right? We all know that. And, you know, we're used to it, so we're kind of okay with it, but most people find it very confusing. And, or, you know, to write a bot or some kind of program to mass bring data.
Or the Wikidata game.
Yes. Or use a tool that someone else wrote that puts things in, like mix and match in a Wikidata game. But what if there, why not imagine, for example, for a project like Women in Red, right? I hope most of you know that project, right? To encourage writing about women on Wikipedia. What if part of that project was to include a tool that makes it super easy to create a new Wikidata entity for the woman you're also writing a Wikipedia article about, right? Sometimes it'll be the first Wikipedia article about this woman, especially if you're working in English. So what if we had some kind of really easy, simple interface that looks like a form that you just fill and end up creating a Wikidata item without having to fiddle with Wikidata's interface? Why not imagine that? So that could be a design task, right? Build, mock up what that might look like. That's just an example of the kind of assignment we could give design students.
And group four, it's not on the screen, but it could be, would be for life sciences, medicine. You know, we have medical schools working with us. We have students studying biology, chemistry. What would these students, what can we do with those students? So, yeah, so we right now we need to break into groups. We don't mind who's going where. We just want it to be kind of balanced. So do we have a volunteer for the programming engineering students assignment?
Anyone for that?
Perfect. So everybody will then
Let's do a quick show of hands and see where the energy in the room is. So who wants to work or discuss possible assignments for humanities and social studies? Raise your hand.
Humanities, social sciences?
Yeah.
Good five folks.
Perfect. Right, that's a good group. So all of you gather around Rob. Rob, raise your hand. This is Rob.
Rob is the leader there. Okay.
So all of you gather around Rob in just a minute. How many of you want to talk about design visualizations for Wikidata?
Interfaces,
Not just data entry, but also query, making the query more friendly, making visualizations more interesting.
Good.
Two, three people?
Yeah, excellent.
Okay, cool.
So you can meet here?
Meet the front. Okay.
And life sciences, medicine, biology, that sort of information. One, two, three, four.
Four.
All right. Okay. Let's make a group out of that. And I guess that's it, right?
There was
only one person interested in programming.
Why don't you join the UX design people, or you can do life sciences. Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. So, but that would mean just the two of you. But that's fine.
Okay.
So programming. Okay.
Rob is humanities, UX here,
and
life sciences.
Yeah, so take the corners of the room, gather a few people around you with or without chairs, and let's have a few minutes of discussion about what kinds of assignments, what kinds of educational activities you would like to do with students, and then we'll share them back.
And I encourage you to just jot it straight down on here.
Yeah, you can just type it straight into the Etherpad.
Type it into the Etherpad, and also think about how the teacher or the facilitator of that session can evaluate what the students are doing, which is also part of, you know, creating an assignment.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
You are assigned to the medicine
Life Sciences Group.
Life Sciences
Come up with
group.
Assignments yes. or curricula for so Life which, Sciences.
Okay, so again.
Yes, near that easel over there.
Humanities
and Social Sciences are over there.
Design,
Visualization, and
life
Programming
sciences and
over
medicine.
Here. Life Science and Medicine over there. That's it. Three groups we have.
Three? Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Two of our groups have spontaneously merged.
That's fine.
Let's go for it.
Wait, which one merged? UX and?
UX and programming.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Life Science and Biology over there. UX, Design, and Programming over here. Humanities and Social Studies over there. Right. And we have about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. We have about 10 minutes.
We have till 3:30, so...
Okay, so we have
15 minutes?
Maybe
15.
Even 15 minutes.
15, yeah.
Awesome.
Good. Do any of you have a laptop to jot down ideas on?
Or session is about
and just open up the Etherpad and you can start jotting.
Data into education and teach with Wikidata.
Don't worry about fully baked ideas. We love half-baked ideas. Crazy ideas. Crazy the better. Yeah, why don't you set up their areas? I can't use a German keyboard effectively, so it's better for you.
Oh. Report back.
In the data science curriculum, I guess data science is kind of peculiar in this space. Everybody else, more or less, probably comes up with similar things, but data science is special.
Not necessarily does it. We'll see.
It's,
you can discuss whatever you want. Go for it.
Where is? Is it the session page?
Yeah, the. So, are you part of this group? You don't know? Oh, you've just come in. So what we've oh, hi, Martin. It's good to see you. Shani. We finally meet you in person. So this session is about basically bringing Wikidata into the classroom, and we're thinking about teaching with Wikidata rather than just, you know, teaching Wikidata skill. And is divided by kind of discipline. So this group is UX design programming. This part over there is... They're doing humanities and gender studies, social sciences, and this group here is doing life sciences and medicine, and each group will try to think of an assignment that we can actually give to our students in academia, and how we will assess it, etc. We'll regroup, and each, so you can choose a group.
Okay, two quick notices. If you feel like it, start documenting your ideas in the Etherpad at the very bottom. And secondly, remember this is a brainstorm, so don't focus on shooting down ideas, on criticizing things, just come up with ideas.
I caught it and...
The camera is still going that way. Mm-hmm. Even though stream, there's just this, but do not go, because it's recording anyway.
Okay.
Are you sitting in on this one?
I think so.
All right, folks, start wrapping up. And we would like to do some share back from the groups to figure out what we've come up with. Yeah.
We don't need that. Keep going, keep going.
An audio
interface?
Yeah, I just have a
player. Okay, there are thousands of them.
I usually play with the maps, but I've never done the mobile charts.
Could you paste what we've come up with at the bottom? The bottom of the user map.
Just paste it there.
All right, folks, let's share back what we've come up with. Obviously, there's more ideas to come. I hope some of you at least will continue to engage with us on this Etherpad, on the wiki page link there called Teaching with Wikidata. But let's go through it very briefly. Each group can just walk us through some of these ideas. Who wants to start? You want to start, this group. Who can walk us through your points? Yes.
Yeah, what is...
Wait, we'll give you a mic.
Thank you. One is to have an interface where you type questions or what kind of questions you want to ask, and it gives recommendations of what properties or fields maths to help you write a query. Creating Google Forms for students based on a certain theme, so that they can create a form with ask questions, so that the user can input data, and that data is mapped to the fields, and you get a spreadsheet view, and which can later be uploaded or have validation. Ability to send contribute data through SMS, mainly for places where it's mostly mobile-based internet. Campaigns to collect data based on weather, like senders data on weather about your locality, either a village or about your school. It could be weather, tree species, anything like that, but kind of a focused campaign. Mobile interfaces should have simple gestures, so it should give you sort of a suggestion of a yes, no question or something where you can just swipe instead of having type input. Creating quiz packages where people create a quiz similar to the form thing on certain themes, using Telegram bots for interactive data collection, and using audio as a means to also collect data.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Any questions to that group?
Any questions or any inspirations from these to add to the technical or UX
benefit? I'll just point out, in general, some of these ideas have already occurred to other people and are in some stages of exploration. Amir Aharoni from the foundation is experimenting with Telegram bots and enabling contribution by SMS and Telegram or WhatsApp. And what was the first bullet? So there are a bunch of tools that recommend properties based on what you type. One of them is called Prop Browse. So I'm just calling it out, as some of these ideas, of course, have already been thought up and need to be better communicated and documented.
Yes.
Thank you.
Before we continue to the next one, you want to add something?
Mike.
Yes, it could be interesting. There was no these folks anywhere.
But something we have been doing is, as we are using extensively automated templates, you see what is translated and what is not translated into your language. So it's really easy for students, for example, to translate labels. And this is also visualization and seeing what you do have and what you don't have. So it's really easy, and they start understanding Wikidata just in the opposite way, when they are seeing first the result and then start editing for him.
And actually, Yuan from
So we're working on a master's course on data science for design, and the students have it as a project to spend 5 weeks with a data set, and you just pitch 16 different data sets to them, and they choose what they want to work on. And if they're engaged and enthusiastic and willing to learn, they're supposed to just visualize what what have they learned, discovered through adding data to Wikidata? And it's up to them how they choose to visualize it, whether it's a website or a Python notebook, and whether it's a Histopedia timeline. It depends on the data set, obviously, but it, you know, personalizing it and making it relevant and making it motivating for them to as to why they should get engaged with it in the first place.
Awesome. Neat. Very
interesting. Yes. Since the mic is already here, we'll move to the medicine life sciences group. And Daniel, do you want to talk about that?
Well, I can read what is there, but in the meantime, what I did and what may be more useful is in line 135. I actually tried to put the ideas that I have had, plus a few that I've seen fly around in that Etherpad, into a tool called All Our Ideas, where we can vote on them so that we can get a ranked list. And you can all go there and click through while you're listening with one ear to what else is going on. You can add your own. I will, yeah. And then after a while, you can go on the view results thing, which will then, once we actually use the tool, give us a ranked list of these kind of ideas. Well, the So one basic thing that we noticed is that basically, whatever we are doing already in Wikipedia contexts, it can be given a Wikidata spin. So if it's like writing an article, then people will have to review the information anyway. They can check whether it's complete on Wikipedia. They can check whether it's complete on Wikidata. They can check whether the Wikipedia article actually has a correspondence in Wikidata. They can check translation, things like that. They can check references, images, video, all these kind of things. They can also kind of review each other's work. That's very important, although the review might happen slightly differently on Wikidata, because, for instance, on Wikipedia, you often, not always, but often if you work on a per article page, then all the edits that are of relevance to you, they are in the history of that particular article. But if you already work on a per category basis, then you might edit many, many different articles. And some of the tools we have, they're good for that, and others are not so. And on Wikidata, we have similar challenges. So if you focus on a particular item, then the version history of that item might actually be useful to you, except if a bot comes around and does like 20 different statements in one edit or something like this. On the other hand, if you're focused on complete coverage or just one property or a set of properties, then you might actually be editing many, many different items. And then that's, again, harder to review than a single page. So, yeah, that's part of the discussion we had. I don't remember all the rest. Maybe some of the others want to say something about that.
Yeah, so one more idea was about taxonomy. Do you want to say something about that very quickly? Because we have
The idea about having a taxonomy class after introducing Wikidata and others is for them to play a game similar to similar to a Wikidata game, that they will start with the specific genus species of a certain animal, and then they will try to go to the higher level until they reach the kingdom. It is a memory work, although there will be a lot of species and genus, but it's a memory work for them, just not to feed them with too much memory work, forcing them not to memorize. So incorporating game into memorizing taxonomy classes.
Yes, and just to last group, and okay, go ahead.
Yes, we have an example for maybe for starting. It was like, let's define female French engineers, for example. So we have to define first French. It could be like from citizenship, place of birth, or how you define. You have to learn how you define French or any other thing. And then you have to define engineer, because you have there a subset of things that could be engineer. And it was an example, for example, in Arabic, architects are engineers. So how you insert everything there. And then female is quite easily defined with gender. So you can have a breakdown on subclasses, which kind of engineers you have, which kind of engineers you have in different Wikipedias. For example, is in Arabic different, or is in Wikipedia, or is different by country? And you can also use this, not only engineer, any other job, you can use it as a demography study through time and through place. You can define, you can even track historical events through this data. Like, for example, why in this country there are more of this kind of engineer in this in this time or other. Well, there are other two that are not ours. Maybe someone will explain. Yes. And then you have bias studies. We have, maybe you can open that link. We made this in the Basque Wikipedia about our biographies. Maybe you can open that link. Okay.
Yeah, Ewan's been talking about sharing this witch trials database covering 3 centuries of witch trials in Edinburgh. Now, on the assumption that witches aren't really cursing people with supernaturals, this is a measure of social anxiety in the search for scapegoats. So that could be correlated against other things, plagues, population dips, other events are happening. My other example was one of the contacts who came to my workshops, she teaches literature, but she gets the students to read up on changes in the law. So a romantic novel is made possible by women having a choice of partner, by having some economic independence. So changes in the marriage law, the inheritance law, enabled new kinds of artwork. So you could look at that, you could look at social change, people getting richer, people having more rights, and say in different countries, and then looking at female-authored romantic novels.
So one thing we made is defining all the biographies we have. It's in the left. And so these biographies are what? They are writers, politicians, actors, football players, university teachers, etc. But then we break in gender. What women are we defining, and what men we are defining? We can learn a lot about what we are doing, because we have more female actors, singers, and models, and we have more male politicians. Well, writers is in both, but politicians and obviously priests and football players. So this, for students, this is a really easy visualization of what you have, and you can also track your language versus another language, or your language versus the whole, yes, or a culture or a country versus the whole, or anything like that.
Yes, one of the things that we discussed was how powerful visualizing for people what is missing, right, from Wikipedia. So many, especially I think in the humanities, social sciences, yeah, gender studies, it's really interesting to see what is missing from Wikipedia. And a simple query of 1 line, 2 lines, right, could be really helpful to demonstrate to the academia what we can work on and what we still need to cover. So that is true actually for every single discipline. We need to wrap up. So on that optimistic note, I want to thank everybody who participated. We hope you had fun. We hope you'll be inspired to take this into your institutions. And one last note, you don't have to actually be an educator to engage with Wikidata. What? Oh yeah, the Facebook group, in a second. So we just want to say you don't have to actually be an educator to be invited to a class and, you know, help support an educator or give a workshop or teach students how to engage with Wikidata. So we hope that all of you are going to start experimenting and share your experiences. We have 2 relevant Facebook groups. One is the Wikidata community. Thank you. We have 1 minute. And the second is Wikipedia and Education. Both are relevant. If you're not part of them, join them.
I want to stress, most of you in the room, I guess, are not educators. I want to repeat what... Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to stress what Shani said. You can still really help. Just imagine walking up to a professor, a teacher of gender studies, and showing that person this kind of breakdown that I'm betting you they have no idea is possible. Mm-hmm. Show them this and say, would you like your class to learn how to do this about, you know, our local language Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Invite me to your course and I will teach people how to do that. Any one of you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Just like we've done with Wikipedia, right? We've been engaging with academia, with teachers for a long time, and some of us are not educators, right? But we help, we facilitate, we help to teach the teachers, and then we teach more people and we get to more people and spread the Wikidata gospel, which is what we all want. So
this Etherpad, we will copy it and clean it up and paste it into the wiki page, Wikidata Teaching with Wikidata. We invite all of you to put it on your watch list, contribute, share ideas, and you don't have to discuss this on Facebook. There's also the wiki space, of course.
Yes, and you can also talk to us, to all of us. Yes.
Because we didn't have the time for it. I think it's important also to add the scientific research as a part of the education process. We can do really a lot, but you just need to have the good questions. What do you want to have? And Wikidata can do it.
Oh, absolutely. There's a whole other session we could do about researchers and how to...
There's a meetup tonight at between 10 and 11 to everyone from research who's interested in doing research about Wikidata. So if that's what, I mean, that was out of scope for our session, but please join us. At least Daniel and I will be there, and we can discuss lots of cool research options for Wikidata. And I think you also mentioned motivation, which is also a huge thing for engaging with any crowd. On that optimistic note,
Remember,
I hope you're all motivated.
Sleep is for the weak. So,
yes.
So come. Yes. Thank you for...
You mentioned that some of the ideas in the group sessions had already come up. Could you annotate where those had come up before?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.